This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this week, Randall and I welcome back Preston Dennett, very, very longtime paranormal researcher, author of 22 books. And that was just yesterday, right, Preston?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, that's what I used to say when I wrote a lot of those books on technology. In those cases, though, they were such rush jobs. You know, I'd be writing a 1,000-page book that give me 6 weeks to complete that book. And you never got paid as much as the time was worth. Kind of a rat race, which I'm no longer involved in. In any case, I think we were all talking here about the fact that we're doing this right after Thanksgiving. And obviously, those who live in California are concerned about the weather and the forest fires and such. What part of the state do you live in, Preston?
Well, I live right near the Woolsey Fire, actually. I live in Reseda in the San Fernando Valley. My brother lives in Topanga Canyon. They were in the evacuation zone. Yeah, it was pretty intense there for a while. Though, this happens pretty regularly. We've dealt with this for, gosh, every 5 years or so, something like this seems to happen. But this was a bad one. Gosh, Northern California, that's where it really hit hard.
How did these fires get started? You know, we've been hearing some rumblings, conspiracy theory type stuff that people are actually setting them on purpose in as part of some sort of underground terror activity or something. What do you think about that idea?
You know, anything's possible. There's lots of people out there who are just intent on destructing. As far as the Woolsey Fire, no one seems to know quite how that one happened, except it was up near the nuclear Rocketdyne complex up there in the Simi Valley area, or just south of there. So, yeah, I'm curious myself to see how these are all going down. It is dry, I have to tell you. I mean, 10 years ago, there was water in the creeks. Now that's just dry and trees are growing where, you know, water used to flow.
Yeah, so it doesn't take much to keep it going anymore once it gets started. No matter how it gets started, it's just... It's a real challenge down there for you guys to get fresh water.
Yeah, I'm thinking of moving at some point because that's one of my fears. There's like over 1 million people here in the San Fernando Valley. That's a lot of people to have all your water being, you know, sourced in.
Yeah, it's a huge amount. And they talk from time to time about building pipelines from British Columbia down to help you guys out. So I'm not really sure where that's headed, but it's super big challenge. But I suppose that the United States is so filled with people who, when they're motivated, do pretty much anything they need to do. And you're right near the ocean, and there's lots of water there, and there's new technologies for desalination and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think you'll be okay in the long run.
Yeah, I think so. We just got to divert our attention to more productive things.
Now, it's interesting about California. I love California, love the L.A. area. I like San Francisco, though I don't like driving in hilly environments for various reasons I don't want to get into. But the thing that kept us from once moving to California was the fear, my wife's fear of earthquakes. And that was before we would have a fear of fires. But now they couldn't pay me to go there.
No. Yeah, I've been through a number of earthquakes. Shoot, I remember the Northridge earthquake really well. I ran out onto my balcony. I saw these earthquake lights rising up from the ground. Couldn't believe it. All the transformers were exploding, but there's been talk about UFOs and, you know, so-called earth lights. And I can talk, you know, with experience on what these things look like. Just this huge sheet of light. Really bright, coming up out of the ground. It's crazy.
Now, one of the things I look at when I say I'm skeptical about direct contacts with UFO entities is If ET is so all powerful, why aren't they helping us?
Well, you know, it's a million-dollar question, isn't it? I think that they are helping us, and I've got a lot of evidence to support that. My first book was called UFO Healings. I think what I wanted to do was write an article about people who have been physiologically affected in a beneficial way as a result of their encounter, because I knew of about 5 or 10 real famous cases. I'm sure you've heard of them. The police officer who was healed of an alligator bite, a baby pet alligator on his finger. A doctor in France who was cured of paralysis and an axe wound on his foot after being struck by a beam of light from a UFO. A bunch of cases like this. A Peruvian customs official went out on his balcony, struck by violet beams of light from this object, cured him of nearsightedness and rheumatism. Well, I found over 100 cases of that, and that was in 1996. Since then, I've got about 300 cases.
Now, you compare that to things like Rendlesham and the Cash Landrum case, where people were seriously harmed in proximity to a UFO. So how do we reconcile one with the other?
It's not easy. I tell you, I have many people who are healed and injured as a result of their UFO encounter. I don't know. What I've found is that ET behavior is pretty much under the same umbrella as human behavior, maybe skewed a little bit towards the more positive, in that it's, I don't see what I would call sadism or torture or, you know, wanton murder on the part of the ETs. But otherwise, I mean, there's a full-on bell curve. Some people have pretty horrendous experiences. I remember there's a case investigated by Constance Clear. She was killed in an accident not too long ago, unfortunately, but she was a great Midwestern researcher. And she was dealing with this client who had missing time encounters, and under hypnosis, all he recalled was these harrowing medical experiments being done on him. It was not nice. And he had a healing of kidney stones at the same time. So it's very difficult to reconcile.
Well, one of the things I always worry about with, in the case of abductions, is when you use hypnotic regression, it's so easy to be influenced by expectations. And certainly if somebody thinks they've been abducted and goes to a hypnotist, they expect something to happen. But the other possibility here is that what they remember is a screen memory. I'm not talking about the owls and the eyes, but the experience of undergoing some kind of physical examination. That is the screen memory for the real event, whatever it is.
I think it's entirely possible. I mean, because we know screen memories happen. One of my books, Inside UFOs, covers like 10 of my most extensive cases. It's one of my recent books. Only two involve hypnosis. Anyone who goes under hypnosis, they already have a lot of conscious experience with this stuff. So really, I mean, any arguments of false memory syndrome or fantasy-prone personalities, this can be laid to rest pretty easily, I think, and conclusively, because there's a lot of people who are having fully conscious experiences.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the favorite cases in my book is this Navy medic. Good witness, trained observer, military guy. He was on a ship with his crewmate, who was a personnel clerk, and they became friends because they had the same cabin. And one day his friend's like, you know, I'm a UFO contactee. And Kevin, the guy I interviewed, Kevin Cannon, like, well, no, Kevin believed in UFOs. He had always believed in them because he did a school paper on it when he was a kid. But here's his friend saying, oh, I've been to other planets. They take me on their ship all the time. You know, been visiting me since I was a child, this sort of thing. And so Kevin turns to him and says, well, if that's true, I want to meet your little green friends. And so his friend, I'll call him Peter, says, okay, I'll see what I can do. A couple of days later, Peter comes back and says, well, I went to your house. Kevin's like, what are you talking about? Peter says, well, starts to describe Kevin's house in perfect detail, which is impossible because they're way out there in the middle of the ocean on this Navy ship. And here's the weird part. The details Peter was describing were about 10 years in the past.
You know what? Let's do a break here, Preston. Preston Dennett, talking about personal encounters. people meeting E.T. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this is, you know, a part of UFO research that a lot of people dismiss. But there are people who believe that they have met up with some kind of entity or being that appears to come from another planet, or that impression is conveyed. And you're talking here about somebody who's friend claims to have met E.T. and saw his home. And I assume he didn't know where he lived, right?
Correct.
Okay, so he didn't know where he lived, but then he sees the home 10 years earlier. Explain.
Yeah, well, this is what really upset Kevin even more than the accuracy of the details, because it was impossible that this guy could possibly know these details about how his house looked like 10 years ago. The only way it could be is if these guys time traveled, which is what Peter was saying, that the ETs picked him up and took him to Kevin's house. And so he's saying all this. And Kevin's like, all right, well, I want to meet these guys. A couple of days later, Peter comes down and says, all right, go on to the deck. They're there. You'll get to meet them. Kevin's thinking he's joking, but it's lunchtime, you know, high noon, and the deck's just a short way away. Kevin goes up on deck. Lots of people are on the ship. You know, it's a 600-foot ship. And looks up, and there's this UFO, this giant kind of diamond-shaped object, really beautiful, covered with colored lights, almost translucent, and at least twice as large as the ship itself. He freaks out, runs over to the nearest person and starts shaking him, saying, you know, look at this thing, look at this thing. And for some reason, he couldn't get anyone's attention. And next thing he knows, he's looking down on the Navy ship as it's receding into the distance, and he's apparently inside this object.
That sounds almost like an altered state of consciousness, where he was, at least mentally, in a different place and saw something. But doesn't that also convey the impression here that maybe that's partly what's going on? When someone has this experience, they are not part of this world as we know it, at least as far as the consciousness is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we know that there are many cases where people have reported a missing time abduction, and they're not there. They're not in their bedroom. You know, they're not where they're supposed to be. Enough cases like that to say that these people are being physically removed in at least some cases. Some cases, it appears they're just kind of pulled out of time into another dimension. He was scared. He's freaking out. He actually pinched himself till he bled and was just really shocked to the point where he could hardly believe this was happening, but otherwise felt normal.
You see, that's another thing I always wonder about with abduction cases. And I talk to abductees and they're very sincere. And I'm sure something happened to them. We can't get a picture of this happening. So if they're in their bed when these beings supposedly takes that person aboard a spaceship, there's no photograph of that because either something happens to the camera, something weird happens and never gets captured on film or digitally.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I've looked into this. There's got to be a million abduction cases? Because according to the Roper poll, 1 in 50 people have this experience. Sounds like a lot, but J. Allen Hynek said 1 in 40. Bud Hopkins said, yes, it's a hidden epidemic. I agree with that. I think there's a lot of people reporting missed abductions, more than is publicly known. Almost none of these cases have been photographed or really even observed at all. But I did find a number that of observed abductions. There was a really good case in Hialeah, Florida in 1979, Filiberto Cardenas, driving down the road with his wife and another couple, four people in the car. Car stalls. They pull over. They're opening the engine to try and figure out what's going on. When this UFO appears over them, pulls Filiberto right up into the UFO in full view of all three witnesses. Everyone's screaming. This UFO darts off. A couple of hours later, they find Filiberto few miles away, out in a field. A great case. It's very well documented, and there's a number of cases like this. Another in England, June 30th, 1988. A bunch of people saw Martin Cohen being pulled up into this beam of light in Leeds Park, and another person actually saw him being returned an hour later. These are really kind of rare outlying cases, but observed abductions do happen.
That's really interesting because we don't often hear about those. And you've done enough research to be sure that these aren't hoaxes or fabrications or urban legend?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say for sure because there are controversies surrounding some of these cases. I did this is one of the chapters on my latest book, Not From Here. And I found about like 20 cases, and some we know for sure. I mean, the Felix Moncla case, where this is a military case in 1953, where this pilot is flying over Lake Superior being vectored towards a UFO. He basically merges with the UFO, and the UFO darts off, and he's never seen again. There's a case in Australia involving Amy Rylands, who her roommate, Petra Heller, saw her being pulled out into this object, and the object took off. They called the police. They couldn't find her anywhere and eventually found her 8 hours away at a gas station. She was so traumatized, she couldn't even remember her own name. So there's cases like this. A case from Leonard Stringfield. He's a great researcher, very well respected. He talked about a case in Hobbs, New Mexico, where a farmer drove up to his house, and this UFO was chasing him. He screeched into the driveway, and the UFO pulled him inside his pickup truck right into the UFO, and he was never seen again. And his whole family watched this happen. So there are a lot of cases, you know, where this has happened, but not enough to be statistically significant in terms of the actual number of abductions that I think, at least, are really happening.
I would think also they get more publicity. I mean, when they came out with a new book about Calvin Parker, about Pascagoula, published by one of our friends from the UK, Flying Disc Press, I kind of sort of expected that we'd see a lot of activity and a lot of interest in the case, and that one's doing pretty well now. But we don't hear about these other events, the ones you're talking about, and they sound as sensational as anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a squelching effect in the mainstream media, for sure, on this subject. A lot of money has been spent towards that by the military, our own tax dollars, to debunk this phenomena continuously.
Your tax dollars at work.
Right. So, I mean, it's nice to know our government is working hard, but it's in the wrong direction. They're working against us to cover up this phenomenon that they know darn well is absolutely real.
So you're thinking here that someone in the NSA or the military picks up the phone and calls the presidents of CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, whatever, and says, in the interest of national security, you cannot write about this. They call the publisher of the New York Times, the Washington Post. The same thing. That's something we should talk about in our next segment. Is it possible that there is this level of control about UFO information? Because this is the legendary silence group, so to speak. With Preston, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. A new government report on climate change has been released, and the findings go against President Trump's stance. The White House report was quickly issued on Black Friday, with critics saying the administration had made attempts to bury the report in the public eye and continued denying climate science. The report frequently contradicts the president, who has often questioned how much climate change is caused by humans, and said recently, after seeing the California wildfires, that he hasn't changed his mind on climate change.
No, I have a strong opinion. I want great climate. We're going to have that.
But The report from outside scientists and officials with 13 federal agencies warns wildfires and hurricanes are getting worse. It also details how global warming is hurting each U.S. region independently. You're listening to USA Radio News.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're here with Preston Dennett as we hear Randall talking from another dimension there with all the echo, because he's being taken away from us. They're coming to take him away. Ha ha. No, that's... I don't know if you all remember that song. Remember when you ran away? No, I don't want to get into that. In any case, Preston Dennett, do you think that the scenario I posed, and I'm not saying I take it seriously, I don't take it completely seriously, that scenario represents reality?
I think to a certain extent it does, and maybe closer than we think. There's a book called The Missing Times by Hansen, which really goes into detail on this, but it's this insidious kind of policy sort of instituted many years ago, saying that UFOs aren't real, so that it's not even seriously considered. I mean, they don't even really need to do that, because UFO stories are not going to be run. They've been so effectively debunked by, like, the Condon Committee and this policy by the Air Force that when anyone sees a UFO, they're said, oh, you're lying, you're misperceiving, or you're hoaxing, you're on drugs. This policy is still in effect.
Right, that goes back to the Robertson panel. And Ruppelt, he was really not a big supporter of that. And it wasn't long after that Robertson panel, all those recommendations came out, including recommendations to actually ridicule his pilots if necessary. He took really great exception to that. It wasn't long before he was transferred. You know, do you think that was just a coincidence?
Oh, no. I mean, J. Allen Hynek talked about this. Project Blue Book was really a farce. There's a case in Nevada. See, I wrote a series of books on each state and studied each encounters, you know, in each state thoroughly, and found that this Air Force policy was pretty pervasive. A case in Nevada involving a airman who had just graduated from school and pretty well educated, comes upon these landed discs, three of them, sees them pretty clearly, gets out of his car, examines them, and they take off. Well, the Air Force was more interested in debunking him and making him look like a fool and were ordering all these psychological evaluations than in investigating the actual incident. They were more worried about publicity and then what actually happened. It's a real problem.
You know, what I really like about you, Preston, is you're just telling it how it is. Actually, we find that there, some of the people in the field, they're a lot more cautious about what they're willing to say and believe. And so far, I certainly can't argue with anything you're saying, because they do. They have kept it secret. Anyone who says that they haven't tried to keep things secret hasn't looked at all the freedom of information requests that were successful in retrieving documents that they said never existed in the first place. How much more proof do you think we really need?
Yeah, I mean, one of the chapters in, let's see, it was Not From Here, Volume 3, I think, was focused on cases of UFOs that hover over mines, you know, like iron mines or copper mines. And there was a case in California, Brush Creek, where these two miners, John Black and John Van Allen, I believe, were doing their titanium mine, and this UFO kept hovering over it. Started coming on the same day once every month. It actually landed there. They saw tracks. Then it landed again. They saw the humanoid. By the time, you know, it had landed on the 20th of each month. So when July 20th rolled around, people were showing up in large numbers to see if there was going to be another encounter, which there never was. But what's interesting is the government was very interested in this case and sent over investigators. I've got a document marked confidential, which shows how they were investigating this Brush Creek incident. And it's only one of many in which UFOs are hovering over mines. And our government, we have documents showing that they're watching this very carefully. Like the Belgian Congo mines, there was a case in the 1950s. There's a document on John Greenwald's, you know, site, Black Vault. He specializes in this sort of thing, government documents, which shows our government is very interested in this phenomena and have been and still are.
Right. Mines, reservoirs, power supply centers, military installations. I mean, are we seeing a bit of a pattern here?
Yeah, which is exactly what we'd expect. This was, you know, what it looks like, extraterrestrials, beings from other planets. I know there's a lot of theories to say UFOs might be this or that, time travelers, interdimensional. People even believe it's demonic. I had to look into that.
The transports from hell theory, yeah.
Well, you know, I had a relative, my wife's uncle, who believed in all that stuff. But that's another story.
Yeah, I've looked into it. I tell you, I bought all the books on demons. I interviewed people who were, you know, quote, possessed. Did my own ghost cases. It's a real phenomena. It's not UFOs. It's not aliens. I still think that you look at the evidence objectively, the best theory which fits the evidence is the extraterrestrial theory. It's still maybe not proven to us publicly, but if we have the ships, you know, if we have the bodies, and I think we do, there's enough whistleblowers now. I've certainly talked to some. Most researchers have, that we can say this is extraterrestrials we're dealing with here.
By extraterrestrial, you're dealing with the specific subset, the interstellar hypothesis, in other words. So not simply like something perhaps from another universe or maybe another dimension, although I don't think that's really possible, but specifically interstellar from another star system.
I mean, that's what it looks like. These objects are hovering over our metallic mines, you know, pulling out our copper and our gold. There's a case where they hovered over a uranium mine in Texas and basically depleted it. When the uranium was dug up in this 250-foot circle, the uranium had turned chalk white, and it was no longer active. So their interest in that alone makes me think, well, you know, why? Do they want our metal? Are they studying this? There are cases where they've landed and are pulling, you know, stuff out of slag heaps and stuff like this. So, yeah, I think that points toward the fact that we're dealing with metallic objects. I did another study on the smell of UFOs. That turned out to be really interesting because it's not something you hear a lot about.
Right. You and I think Joshua Kitchen, is it? Gene, that he's, you know, does the this research on smells and food and so on as well.
Yeah, well, what I found, I examined about 50 cases, was that the odors are rarely reported, but when they are, they fall into two main categories. One is sort of an electrical ozone metallic odor, which I think points towards the fact that we're dealing with ships, you know, with metal and very powerful power systems. But the other was a sort of an organic odor, which was described often as like not pleasant, sort of cheesy or funky, stuffy, sulfurous, not pleasant, like a locker room. So that, I think, points towards an organic smell, something we're dealing like, you know, like a living being, which is exactly what Whitley Strieber reported. He actually wanted to smell them because of this and reported that they had sort of cinnamon or a wet cardboard smell.
Backing up a little bit, this is interesting on how we're extrapolating some of the properties and behavior of them from these types of stimuli. So when you were talking about the miners who were saying that these craft came back on the same day each month, that kind of strongly suggests that they're working on a time system and a calendar system of ours, not theirs. So that kind of implies that they studied us enough to know about how our calendar system works.
Hey, you know, I never thought of that, but I mean,
because if they come from another star system, why would, you know, their months and days certainly are not very likely to line up with ours that perfectly. They must have adapted to our time system somehow.
Well, I do have a case where these guys went out to rent a cabin in the Southern California desert, and they were all just walking around, and one of the guys, he wandered off, comes back and says, "Oh my God, I just had an encounter with, you know, these hybrid aliens. They took me on their craft." And I interviewed the guy who talked to this guy.
I'll tell you what, let's have that interview summary in our next segment. Preston Dennett talking here about very, very close encounters with possible ETs with Gene Randall. And Preston, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size, for every budget. Now, GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen,
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Okay, so why don't you continue with that description, Preston Dennett?
Yeah, these friends are at this cabin, and this guy is telling the story about how he came upon a landed UFO and they invited him on board. They were very friendly. They said they were studying this area. They looked mostly human, except were bald, had largest heads and largest eyes, but not grays, almost human, so hired looking. They told this guy, if you'd like to come with us, we'll take you with us. And the guy considered it for just a second, like, no, I don't think so. And these ETs told him, well, we're going to be back next year at this exact time. So if you want to come with us, you can come with us. Show up. And he told the story, and none of his friends believed him except the guy I interviewed, Tony, who had had a number of paranormal encounters and believed in UFOs and really thought that this guy was telling the truth. Well, a year went by, and the guy actually started giving his stuff away. And Tony's like, you're going off? You're going to go try and do this? And he's like, yeah, I think I will. And he did. He drove off. And they found his car with the keys in it, never found him again. There was a whole police investigation, but no, this guy's gone. Apparently he went with these ETs on an appointment that they made a year earlier.
What do you think of the whole sort of David Pilates thing then? Do you think maybe we've got some kind of abduction taking place in the parks out in the wilderness or something? Or what do you think of that?
Yeah. I think he's doing some outstanding research. There are a lot of missing persons, and it concerns me. Tying it to the UFO phenomena is still tenuous at this point, because there's only a few cases, really, where we can point to someone who said that they've seen a UFO, and then they're missing. I mean, how would you know whether UFOs are doing this or whether it's, you know, agents here on Earth? But it does seem to be an enormous problem that's not really being talked about, and you have to wonder about the huge number of missing people. What is going on here?
Right. There's another sort of conspiracy theory that talks about ufologists that have died allegedly under mysterious circumstances. And there's, what do you think of that? You've probably run across it. You know, especially ones that have maybe aren't necessarily involved specifically with ufology, but also the Star Wars project, the scientists that have either gone missing or died under rather bizarre circumstances. You know what I'm talking about there?
Oh, yeah. And this is talked about definitely in the UFO field. I wrote a little bit about this, I think, in one of my Not From Here chapters. I mean, it kind of started with Roswell, didn't it? When there was a lot of people who were treated rudely. You know, Frankie Rowe and all these people talking about how government came to their house and said, basically, if you talk about this, you'll end up as bones out there in the desert. You'll be dog food. And some missing persons involved with the whole Roswell case. That happened with the Rendlesham case as well. There were some controversial suicide cases that didn't look like they were suicide. This is a real problem. The James Forrestal, I'm sure you've heard about him. He was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was some rumors that there was some kind of MIB involvement with him, right? So it was, and he figured that they were coming to get him, and they found that he'd gone out a window or something, like seven stories up or something like that, right?
Yeah, they say he committed suicide, but a lot of researchers don't think he did, that he was basically forced out because he was going to go public. I mean, you can go all the way up to, you know, the Kennedy assassination, who he was supposedly about to bust this whole subject wide open.
Right. They found some memo that he had requested of a bunch of UFO documentation from NASA not long before he was assassinated.
And you'll see that in these crash retrieval cases, the government works very hard to cover this stuff up. Look what happened to David Jacobs, Dr. David Jacobs, not, you know, the author. He was a guy who was a missile expert at Vandenberg Air Force Base. I believe it was in the 1950s, where they launched an Atlas missile. It might have been later than that, but at any rate, he was in charge of photographing it and photographed this UFO going around the missile, shot three little beams of light at it, and the Atlas missile went into the ocean. His superiors brought him to the office and said, "What is that?" And Jacobs is like, "Well, that's a UFO." And his superior, Major Mansman, said, "No, you can't ever tell anyone about this. This never happened." Well, eventually he did. He went public. And as a result, he lost his job. He was threatened. He received death threats. His mailbox was blown up. But he persisted, and researchers actually contacted Major Mansman, who turned out was to be dying of cancer on his deathbed, and said, "Yes, this all happened." So that whole case has really been busted wide open. But a lot of people who go public with this stuff, they suffer bad.
I wanted to bring up Roswell again because you mentioned it. Now, Kevin D. Randall, who has studied Roswell for, 30 years, wrote this book a few years back, Roswell in the 21st Century. And he disassembled a lot of the memories and stories about Roswell and came up with the conclusion that there's no evidence that the testimony about possible bodies holds up. There is no evidence, obviously, that was a Mogul balloon, or at least very little, that something happened, but we don't know what it is. And my concern about Roswell, forgetting about Kevin Randall for a moment, is that if we captured a real advanced aircraft, what, 70 years ago, 71 years ago, why don't we have any evidence at all of reverse engineered technology, or do we?
Yeah, well, there's a whole money power control system going on that's keeping this very tightly controlled, I think. And there is a lot of rumors, at least, that the back engineering has been going on. As far as Kevin Randall and Roswell happened. It's not just depending on Kevin Randall, who was definitely one of the lead investigators. Came to MUFON LA once and just bashed the whole Roswell case. So I kind of know what you're talking about. He was backpedaling pretty darn hard.
Right, but he's not saying that Roswell didn't happen. He's saying that a lot of the things we assumed about Roswell could not be confirmed.
It's completely wrong, and I'm really upset. He's kind of on my naughty list. I feel like I'm wondering if he's debunking this case. Like Kent Jeffries did, the Roswell Declaration, there's a lot of people trying to control this case. It's the grand daddy of cases. There's hundreds of witnesses. It's not going away. I know people think you might be beating a dead horse, but I'm not giving up on Roswell. I want to see that darn craft. I know it's there. There's enough evidence. We've interviewed people who saw this thing on radar, people who actually saw this thing coming down, people who guarded it, people who carried the wreckage. I mean, Walter Hout, he's another great witness. I doubt he's lying. I don't think Glenn Dennis is lying. I don't think Frankie Rowe is lying. There's an enormous number of witnesses to support this case. And I don't support anyone who's trying to bash it or debunk it, because I think we know it's real.
Well, something happened, that's for sure. You know, I really love your enthusiasm and how you are just so pro there, here, or at least they've been here. I think that you go out even further on a limb than I would. I would say that there's really no verifiable material, scientifically valid evidence for the existence of them. And then every time we try to get some, we end up in these blind alleys and with nothing, you know, just with sand slipping through our fingers every time. And like you, I believe that they've been here. I don't know if they're here at this very moment, but how do we go about convincing other people who need that material evidence?
Yes, I see exactly what you're saying. We've got this mountain of circumstantial evidence, which is almost conclusive, but just misses just there by a hair, really. I mean, we've got radar return cases. We have thousands of landing trace cases, some of which are extremely convincing. We have metal fragments cases. We've got all kinds of stuff like this. I mean, we have the craft themselves, and that would solve the problem. It's this darn cover-up. The proof is within the public arena. Look at the implant evidence. No, we can't hold these darn implants. What happened to the implants? You know, the Roger Lear's research. Why isn't anyone else picking up on that? There should be a lot more interest in that sort of thing.
But with the implants, do we actually have an implant that we could show with a microscope? This is made from advanced technology, even the most advanced computer chips. Can't keep up with this. Would we even recognize alien technology? I want to get into that with you. And it's not from necessarily a disbeliever point of view, but just being appropriately skeptical, I think. We've got Preston Dennett, paranormal researcher and writer. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.